Okay, our study this evening then is taken from Psalm 51. And I trust that you have that open in your lap there and you can follow along with me as we consider Psalm 51 this evening. Now, as I look at this psalm, I think of this. This truly is a sinner's prayer. This is a sinner's prayer. It's a prayer of a sincere believer who confesses his sin before God and ask for mercy based upon one thing, based upon the blood and righteousness of Jesus Christ alone. That's the only ground of mercy, is Christ and Him crucified. In Christ we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of His grace. David does not seek to justify himself or defend himself before God, but rather he comes boldly to the throne of grace as a mercy beggar to receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. Now I want us this evening, and I want you personally, as we consider these words in Psalm 51, to make this your prayer. Make this your prayer before God. I want to make it my prayer before God. We see here, I want to point out at least nine requests or nine pleas unto God that David, as a mercy beggar, pleads before God. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians 4, verse 6, that we are to make our request known unto God. Now, I want to, don't you? Make all of our requests, make them known unto God. Now, here's the first thing. Here's the first request. And let's make this our request. Have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me. Jeremiah lamented there in the book of Lamentations, and he said, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. O God, have mercy upon me. Now, here's what every sinner is in need of. Here's, whether you realize it or not, here's what you are in need of. Mercy. Mercy. Every sinner is in need of mercy. Every sinner is in need of mercy. And you know what? None of us deserve mercy. We're in need of mercy, but we're not deserving of it, are we? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Grace, what's the difference between grace and mercy? You ever thought about that? Grace is God giving us what we do not deserve, giving us the unmerited, free, and sovereign favor of God. We're justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. Not giving us what we do deserve. Mercy is born here of His, what it says there. He says, have mercy upon me according to the fact that I am the King. Oh no. Have mercy upon me according to my works or according to my righteousness. Oh no. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us. According to Your loving kindness. According to the multitude of Thy tender mercies. Mercy is born of God's loving kindness. God is merciful. It says in the Scripture that God delights to show mercy, His loving kindness. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us. And He sent His Son to be the sacrifice for our sin. That's loving kindness, is it not? And because of that glorious sacrifice, God can justly show mercy unto such as we are, sinners in God's sight. Mercy also springs from the covenant of His grace. Not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God that showeth mercy. He said, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will harden whom I will. God's greatest glory, His mercy, sovereign mercy, is my greatest need. Now think about that. Moses asked the Lord, show me your glory. Remember what he said? I'll cause all my goodness to pass before you, and I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. Lord, show me your glory. He said, I will be merciful. God's greatest glory is showing mercy to sinners is my greatest need. I need His mercy according to His covenant of grace and according to His loving kindness in Christ Jesus. Now, make that your cry. Make that your constant plea before God. Have mercy upon me, O God. Isn't that what the publican prayed in the temple? And God said of that man, the publican, he went down to his house justified rather than the other. The Pharisee bragged on himself and was condemned. The publican condemned himself and was justified. Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy. Be merciful unto me, the sinner. He condemned himself, and God said he went down to his house justified. Well, I'm going to condemn myself. I don't deserve God's mercy. None of us do. But make this your constant plea before God. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. Now, notice what else he prays here. The second plea is this. According to your mercy and according to your loving kindness, blot out all my sin. Just blot them out. Blot them out. Look down at verse 9. He says this twice. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out, not some of them, all of them, all my iniquities. All my iniquities. Now it is true, we have a multitude of transgressions and we have a multitude of iniquities. Don't we? I've heard people say, well, I used to be a sinner. Well, I'm still a sinner. A sinner saved by God's grace, but I'm still a sinner. It is true, we have a multitude of transgressions and a multitude of iniquities. For the Word of God says, and we've studied this through the Psalm, that there is none righteous, no, not one. But never fear, as a believer, as a mercy beggar, He has a multitude of mercy to pardon our iniquities and our transgressions. I like the prayer in the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 9:17, where it said, Thou art a God ready to pardon. Thou art a God that is merciful, full of loving kindness, and ready to pardon. He's abundant in mercy. He's plenteous in redemption. If God delights to show mercy, and if you're in need of mercy, why don't you ask Him for mercy? Why don't you ask Him according to His loving kindness? Lord, blot out my sin. Blot out my iniquity. We never need fear. He has a multitude of mercy to pardon us. God can justly forgive all our sin. Only one way that He can justly forgive all our sin is only through the effectual sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the only way God can be a just God and Savior. The only way He can be the just and the justifier of the ungodly is that the Lord Jesus Christ made complete satisfaction for all of the sins of God's covenant people and those who call upon God for mercy based upon the Lord Jesus Christ, His sacrifice and His righteousness. God can justly forgive our sin and still remain a holy and just God. That is the miracle and mystery of the gospel, how God can remain holy and just and yet show mercy unto sinners, not at the expense of His holiness. Now here's the third plea, verse 2 and verse 7. Verse 2 and verse 7. Wash me. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Down in verse 7 it says, purge me. Purge me with the blood. The hyssop there refers to the blood. Purge me with the blood and I shall be clean. Lord, you wash me. You wash me. And I shall be whiter, whiter than the snow. Oh, wash me. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me justified in your sight. Sin makes us defiled in God's sight. Does it not? Sure it does. Isaiah 64 says, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in God's sight. Sin defiles us before God. It says in Isaiah 59:2 that sin has separated us from God. We are helpless to wash ourselves from our sin. Try it one time. Try to cleanse yourself from your sin. Try to put away your own sin. We are helpless to wash ourselves from our sin. All of our works, all of our doing will not put away sin. Will not make atonement for sin. All the sacrifices given under the law, all those animal sacrifices, how much sin was put away with the blood of bulls and goats? Huh? Come on. None. None. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. So sin defiles us. Sin separates us from God. We are helpless to wash ourselves from our sin. Our works, law, ceremony can't take away sin. But I tell you what does. He appeared once in the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. We are redeemed. God's people are redeemed with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's why we need cleansing. Here's why we need cleansing. The cleansing that God provides. The cleansing that God does. He says in verse 3, here's our problem. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is before me. You know, sin is a fruit of what we are. We are S-I-N. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth's not in us. The fruit of our sin nature is our sins. And our sins are ever before, David said, my sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before God. And then he tells us the reason why in verse 5. The reason why we're so sinful. Look at verse 5. Verse 5. Verse 4 says, my sin is before God. He acknowledges against thee, and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in God's sight, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. You know what he's saying there? If you justly condemn me, that's what I deserve. Now, I don't want what I deserve because that's eternal condemnation. David said, oh, if you against thee I've sinned, and if you give me what I've got coming to me, I'll be forever condemned, that thou mightest be justified when you speak and clear when you judge. Now, here's the problem. Verse 5, I was shapen in sin. I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Now, if you notice there's throughout the Word of God in the Psalm, there's three things that are mentioned here that describe who we are. S-I-N, what I am, transgressions, what I do, and iniquities. Iniquities. You know the Lord Jesus Christ put away our sin? He bare our transgression, our sin, in his own body on the tree. He took our iniquities to himself. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquities. Everything that I am and all that I do, all the sin of God's elect was charged and imputed and reckoned to the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary's tree. God made him sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The only way God can justly show mercy and save us is because the Lord Jesus Christ satisfied law and justice on our behalf. Wash me and cleanse me and make me whiter, whiter than the snow. That's a good plea. That's the only plea a sinner has before God. Now here's number 4. In verse 6 he said, make me to know wisdom. Make me to know wisdom. Behold, thou desirest truth inwardly. Truth inwardly. In the inward parts. And in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. By nature, all of our thoughts about God and sin and salvation are wrong. All of our thoughts about God, just left to ourselves. He says over here, remember in Psalm 50, verse 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silent. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I'll reprove thee. I'll set them in order before thee. You see, left to ourselves, we think too highly of ourselves, and we think too low of God. We think too high of ourselves, and we think wrong thoughts about God until He's pleased to reveal unto us who we are, S-I-N, and who He is, holy and righteous and just and eternal and sovereign. All of our thoughts about God are wrong. We esteem ourselves too much. Our thoughts about God are too low. He must teach us the way of wisdom. He must teach us the gospel, for the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. God must make us to know wisdom. God must make us to know Christ. In Him, it says in the book of Colossians, let's turn over there, Colossians chapter 2. Wisdom. Make me to know wisdom. It says in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. In whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He said the hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Matter of fact, he's made to the believer. Turn over here to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. He is made unto the believer, but of him, verse 30, you see it there? But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. There's that word. He's our wisdom. He's our wisdom. He is our righteousness. He is our sanctification. He is our redemption. And if he's made all that to you, then you have no problem with this. He that glorieth, let him glory only in the Lord. We glory only in Him. Lord, make me to know Christ. Make me to know the wisdom of God revealed in the mystery of the gospel in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We need His wisdom, the wisdom and revelation of God to understand His gospel, to understand His truth, Christ being the truth. Now look at verse 8. Here's the fifth plea. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than the snow. Verse 7. Now make me to hear joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones, David experienced deep conviction. He felt like his, you ever had a broken bone? I mean, I've had several broken bones. It's most painful, isn't it? Make me to hear joy and gladness. I tell you, when you break a bone, all you want to do is mourn and sigh and cry and mourn and moan. And David said here, my bones are broken. I'm so deeply convicted over my sin. Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness again, that the bones that you've broken may rejoice. Turn my mourning into joy and rejoicing in Christ Jesus. Make me to know wisdom in the gospel and cause me to experience. Make me to know wisdom in Christ Jesus and cause me to experience the joy of it in my heart. There is a joy in being a believer. There is a tremendous joy. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Turn over here to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Make me to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is my wisdom, who is my strength. I want us to read Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. Not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement or reconciliation. Turn over here to Philippians 3 for just a moment. When the Apostle Paul describes the true believer who is circumcised in the heart, had the operation of God upon his heart, made a new creature in Christ Jesus. This is a circumcision made without hands. We are the true Israel of God. This is Philippians 3:3. And worship God in the Spirit. Rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we have no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in the flesh. Lord, make me to hear joy and gladness in the gospel. That the bones that you have broken may rejoice again and again in Christ Jesus. You see, the bones that the Lord breaks, he heals. He's nigh them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. The bones that he breaks, he heals, that we may rejoice in him now and forever. Those whom he wounds, he also heals. Those whom he convicts, those also he converts in mercy and grace. Now here's the sixth plea, verse 10. Create. Now who's the creator? You see verse 10? Create in me a clean heart. Give me a new heart. Create. God is the creator. God is the only one that can create a clean heart. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Create a clean heart. Salvation is of the Lord. Salvation is not us cleaning up the old nature. Salvation is not reformation. Salvation is not reformation, it's regeneration. Salvation is not education. Salvation is revelation. It takes God. And you know what? I've learned this some time ago. It takes God to reveal God. It takes God to reveal God. God must do that work of grace in our heart, the power of God, the Holy Spirit, to reveal the way of salvation and to create in us a new heart. Salvation is not us cleaning up the old man. It is God creating within us a new heart and a new divine spiritual nature that was not there before. Not there before. We love darkness, not light. There's a scripture I'm thinking of over here. If we can find it. Let's see if you can help me find it. Over here, I think it's Ephesians chapter 4. Let's turn over there and see if that's it. I think that's the one. We need for God to create within us a new divine nature. We have that old Adam fallen nature that is nothing but S-I-N. And that old nature in regeneration and in the new birth from above, that old nature is not eradicated. It's still an old wretched man. But in regeneration, when God does a work of grace in the heart, he implants within the believer a new nature. A spiritual nature that was not there before. Peter said it this way in 2 Peter. He said, we are partakers of a divine nature. Now look what it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. And he said, put you on the new man, which after God is created. Created. It's created in righteousness, and it's created in true holiness. We have that new nature given of God that is holy and righteous and as perfect as God, because God can only give that which is holy, right, and perfect. So we have that old, rotten, sinful nature of Adam. We say with Paul, oh, wretched man that I am. But in regeneration and in the new birth, we have that new divine nature given of God. And therefore, within the believer, there's a war, there's a battle. The Spirit lusts and wars against the flesh, and the flesh against the Spirit, and they're contrary one to another. So that you cannot do the things that you really would. That old nature would go just as far as it could, but God restrains it. And that new nature would the desire of that new man and that new nature is to worship God in every aspect, in every way, but yet this old man drags it down. And we say with Paul, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And then he says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Renew within me and create within me a new nature. We must be born again from above. The new birth is the work of God. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. A new creation is taking place. This is the work of God. It's salvation. It's of the Lord. Create in me this new nature and renew a right spirit within me daily. You see, the old man, it says this in 2 Corinthians 4, the outward man perishes daily. The inward man is renewed day by day. Day by day. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit, a constant spirit within me. You do it, Lord. I cannot. Now here's the seventh thing, verse 11. Cast me not away. Cast me not away from thy presence. David felt like he was after having committed murder and adultery, David felt like, Lord, if you justly cast me out, that's what I deserve. But he said, don't do it. Don't cast me out. Cast me not away from your presence. And don't take thy spirit, thy Holy Spirit, from me. Take not thy spirit from me. Now, we certainly don't deserve to be in his presence. We certainly don't deserve to be in his presence. But it is our desire that we would be eternally accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is certainly our desire to be blessed with his presence, to enjoy sweet fellowship, to enjoy sweet communion with our blessed Lord and Savior. Cast me not away. That our desire is to be in his presence. Our desire is to be with him. Our desire is not to be apart from him, but oh, to be with him, to be one with him. Lord, cast me not away. Take me to yourself. And take not thy spirit from me. Now look, here's the eighth thing, verse 12. Restore unto me and uphold me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Notice, it's God's salvation. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit, thy sovereign spirit. Now, David didn't lose his salvation, did he? God saves us with an everlasting salvation. The Apostle John said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not, but when you do, God's not going to throw you out. When you do, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. David didn't lose his salvation because of his sin, but the sweet communion that he had enjoyed with the Lord was certainly disrupted because of his sin, and it grieved him so. Believers long for the joy that salvation brings to the soul, and it grieves our heart when that sweet fellowship is interrupted due to our rottenness of our nature. And someday we will be. Someday we'll just lay down this old rotten flesh and be done with it. And we'll go to be with the Lord, and there we'll be redeemed totally from the presence of sin. And it will be no more. We'll be no more. And we'll have a new body without sin. A glorified body like unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about to worship him without sin. Oh, I tell you, what a day that will be. To worship him without sin. Restore unto me and uphold me with thy free spirit. Uphold me with thy sovereign spirit. Don't let me go. Don't let me loose from thy gracious restraints. Aren't you glad we're kept by the power of God? He's able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Now, we've seen that statement several times through the book of Psalms, thy salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of him. The gospel is of him. Righteousness is of him. Salvation is of the Lord. It's of the Lord in its planning. It's of the Lord in its execution. It's of the Lord in its application. It's of the Lord in his sustaining power. And it's of the Lord in his ultimate perfection. And it's of the Lord in his ultimate glory and grace. Salvation is of the Lord. Now here's the last one. Number 9, verse 14. He said, deliver me. Deliver me. You know that word there, deliver, has a sense also of redeem me. That's what redemption is all about. It's deliverance. Redeem me from blood guiltiness, O God. Thou God, I like this statement here, thou God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud. My tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. You see, we're justified with his righteousness. He is called the Lord, our righteousness. We're justified by his righteousness. We're no longer as believers going about to establish a righteousness of our own, as Paul says of those ignorant Jews in Romans 10, but rather we are resting in the righteousness that is of the gospel, and that is the provided righteousness that we enjoy, that's imputed to every believer, and it's Christ, who is the Lord, our righteousness. Deliver me, O God of my salvation. Deliver me from my guilt. From my guilt. You know, guilt is a terrible thing. Guilt is a terrible thing. I mean, it just presses you down. It weighs you down. Guilty, guilty, guilty. You imagine being charged with a crime of murder and sentenced. And you go before the jury. They hear the case. And they come back from the jury room, guilty. What's the verdict? The judge read, guilty, guilty. What's the sentence? Death. Death. Oh, what a weight. What a weight. But think about this. Guilty before God. Guilty before God. Oh, the weight of that. The weight of that. You know, the law says, let every mouth be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. But think about this. Think about this. The sentence of God Almighty to his covenant people, because the debt is paid by the substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. The sentence is now justified. Justified before God. Therefore, thou God of my salvation, my tongue, you see, he took my guilt. He took my judgment. He took the wrath of God in my stead. My tongue shall sing aloud now of thy righteousness. Thy righteousness. You know, God doesn't ask of us to produce a righteousness. I can't do it anyway. But he does, by his grace, graciously tells us to receive the righteousness that he's provided, and that is found in Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. Faith looks to Christ alone, who is all of our righteousness before God. Believers own what we are, and we confess that Jesus Christ is all of our salvation. That's our hope. I mean, we could sum it all up. Jesus' blood, thy righteousness, is all our plea before God. All our plea. Deliver me, O God, from my guilt. O God, thou God of my salvation. And I'll sing aloud. I'm not going to be quiet about this. I'm going to sing aloud of thy righteousness, because his righteousness justifies the ungodly. Being justified freely by his grace. I'm thinking of a scripture over here, and Hebrews 9, verse 14. Let's read this and I'll close. I'll quit with this. Believers sing aloud of that righteousness provided in the gospel. And you know what? calms our troubled soul. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. In Hebrews 9, verse 14, Hebrews 9 tells us about our great high priest, verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh, how much more? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works, to serve the living God? Your conscience been purged? The blood of Christ? Okay, sing aloud of thy righteousness. Salvation is of the Lord.